2 weeks I was away in Chutz Loretz, primarily because of a family simcha. My enikel got married in London, so Baruch Hashem, it was a wonderful simcha, a beautiful simcha. And while I'm in Chutz Loretz, goes without saying, there were many shiurim in different yeshivas, in different institutions, in different shuls, but it's always a pleasure to come back home, back to Eretz Yisrael, and back to the shiurim kvuim. So this week's parasha, we continue to learn about Maasei Avos. And last week, we were introduced to Yitzchak, and this week, to Yaakov Avinu. And the very first parasha, the very first sugya in parashas tell this, is the sugya of Mechiras HaBechoira. V'yesoitzis Rabbona Bekirba. Two brothers were born, Yaakov and Esav, and then the Torah immediately tells us about the story of Mechiras HaBechoira. And it is interesting, even though it goes without saying, that the real interpretation of these parashiyos is not just a business deal, transaction between two brothers. Well, it definitely is all about asidus, that Ramban teaches us, Masa Ovis Yetzira Labonim. Not only Siman Labonim, but Yetzira Labonim, creation, whatever the Ovis did. It all affected coming generations for eternity, till the end of days. But the Rishonim and the Achronim, and not only the Balei Drush and the Balei Kabbalah, but the greatest Lamdim, dealt with this parasha with a Choshem Mishpat Dekeblik, and all dealt with the question, how could one sell Bechoyre before his demise? It's a Dovah Shaloi Boli Yoylam. Bechoyre is relevant when a person passes away, then it is, and only then is Bechoyre relevant. When his children have to split up the inheritance, his estate. So as long as Yitzchak is alive, how could one sell the chayretz adovo shelloi boli yoylam? So who are the major poiskim that deal with this question? Kol achad bidarko. Tshuva Sarivash, Simen Shin Chof Ches, quotes a manuscript that he saw from the Tur. And he writes, I don't believe this is really from the Tur. Lav rosh velo b'noi atur. But today we have Perashat Torah LaTorah, and it is totally verified and reliable, and we know that it is authentic, and what the Rivash quotes in the name of the Tur is there. So we have the Rosh and the Tur, greatest poiskim and Rishonim, Tshuva Sarivash Simashin Chofres, Ktsois Achoshin. Ktsois Achoshin, how would one define the Ktsois? The father of modern Lamdas. Well, Gemara is Lamdas, Mishnah is Lamdas, Rashba is Lamdas, everything is Lamdas, but contemporary Lamdas. So the Ktsois HaChoshen, Simen Reish Ayin Ches, Siv Kotn Yud Gemal, also deals with this question. So this question, really, the greatest minds, the greatest Lamdonim, and Poiskim dealt with this question, even though I once again want to emphasize that Rashi writes, what was it all about? It wasn't a monetary issue. When Yaakov tries to acquire the Bechoyre, he doesn't mean money. He doesn't mean Pishnayim v'Yerusha. He means Akrovis Kabonis. Because before the Beis HaMikdash was erected, the Bechoyrim, they were the ones that offered Karbonis for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yaakov Avinu thought, justly thought, that Esav is not the one to offer sacrifices to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Karbonis must be brought with total purity and the best of intentions and Kavonis. And that is why Yaakov wanted to be the Bechor. So it's not about money. It has nothing to do with Dovah Shalom B'Yolim. It's right here and now. Who will bring the Karbonis this afternoon? Who will be Makrav Karbonis tomorrow morning? But nevertheless, as I said, the greatest Gedolim throughout many generations dealt with the Sugya of Dovah Shalom B'Yolim, and we will follow in their footsteps. So the Tshuva Sarivash and Shin Shamaches quotes in the name of the Tur, in the name of his great father, the Rosh. The Rosh said, because ein oda makna dova shelo boli yoylam, that is why. Esav responds to Yaakov's business deal, Yaakov's offer. Hine necho yolomach, lomus, lomus eli b'choyre. V'yom Yaakov, hi shavu li kayoim, v'yishav aloi, v'yim kriz b'choyre lo soli Yaakov. Esav was ready to do the deal right here and now. So why was there a need for a shavua? You know, a shavua is necessary when somebody promises to do something in the future. But they went ahead with the transaction. So why was there a need for a Shavua? So the Rosh argues, because of the problem of Ein Odom Maklan Dovah Shelo Bo Yoyrim, you can't sell something that isn't relevant, that isn't here yet. You can't sell something that isn't yours yet. You can't send anything which is futuristic. The Kenyan must be right here and now, must be relevant. You can't sell something that either is a Dovah Shelo Bo Yoyrim or it is not in your possession. Even though it's in the world, but it's not in your possession. How could you sell something that doesn't belong to you? However, so the Rosh argues, and he proved this from this parsha. That is why Yaakov demands a Shavua. With a Shavua, if the Kenyan is accompanied with a Shavua, or the Makna Dovashara Buri Olam, and the Rosh argues, I see no Savora. Why would a Shavua solidify or validate the Kenyan if it's a Dovah Shelo Bo Yoyrim? If Eino the Makna Dovah Shelo Bo Yoyrim, why would a Shavua make a difference? What is the logic that if you add on a Shavua to a Kenyan, the Dovah Shelo Bo Yoyrim, then the Kenyan would be valid? Why would that be? Argues the Rivash. Doesn't make sense. So how does the Rivash deal with the question of Dovah Shelo Bo Yoyrim? The Rivash says, Lifnei Matan Torah, O the Makla Dovah Shelo Bo Yoyrim. And that was Lifnei Matan Torah. So we do have a din, Ein Odom Makla Dovah Shelo Bo Yoyrim, but that is a din that is in Jewish law. Lifnei Matan Torah, people made Kinyonim, even B'Dovah Shelo Bo Yoyrim. And why would there be a difference in Dina Kinyonim between Koyde Matan Torah, Lecha Matan Torah? Yes, we have a totally different set of kinyonim than the goyim have. That is obvious. Some chodesh daf yud gimel, midi yisrael b'chode, akum nami b'chode. If we have kesef, they have mashicha. If we have mashicha, they have kesef. But the fundamental principles of kinyonim, why would they be different? Lifnei matan Torah, liyacha matan Torah. So my feeling is this: I think the Rivash and the Rosh and Tur have two basically different approaches and interpretations. Lama ein oda makna dova shela bo yoyrim. What is the origin? What is the basis? What is the logic of this halacha? And why not? Why do Chazal assume ein oda makna dova shela bo yoyrim? And this question is especially relevant after we are aware that some of the great tenuah maintain oda makna dova shela bo yoyrim. That is the shita of Reb Meir. So it's not beyond reason to say that a Kenyan could be chal on the Dovah Shelo Bo Yoyrim. But the halacha is in accordance to Shittas Chachomim, Ein Oda Makna Dovah Shelo Bo Yoyrim. Why not? So there are two basically different approaches, and each of these two approaches have very serious sources. One approach is, it is not something inherent in the Etzem Musag, the Etzem concept of a Kenyan, that a Kenyan has to be valid right here and now when you do that Kenyan. No. We could imagine that a Kenyan would be relevant even if it is chal on something which is not yet here. But there is a lack of smichus das. It is similar to an asmachta. Because one of the most basic ingredients of a Kenyan, one of the basic requirements of a Kenyan is gmar dat. And if there is a lack in gemar dat, if people don't relate seriously to the Kenyan, and there is no smichus das, gemar dat mitzad the seller, smichut dat mitzad the buyer, but they are intertwined. So the problem with the Dovah Shelo Bo Yoyrim is neither the buyer nor the seller are really serious about it. The seller hopes maybe it'll never happen. You know, selling something which is not existent, maybe it will never come to be. By the time it'll come to be, maybe he'll forget about it, maybe he'll regret. There's a lack of gemar das mitzad the seller. And the buyer also has his doubts, you know. I hope it will come to be, but he isn't confident. So the lack of smichas das invalidates the Kenyan, and that is the reason she'ein oda makna dova shalai boli yoylam. This is the opinion of many, many great gedolim. Or HaChaim HaKodesh, and this is very parsha, and parsha is told us dealing with the b'chayra. Or HaChaim HaKodesh assumes, in his opinion, it's self-evident that the entire reasoning why can't the person make a kinyan b'davar shelo bi'yodim is not because it is in the essence of the very concept of a kinyan, but rather because there is a lack of gemar da'at and smichut da'at. That is also obvious in Tshuvas HaMabit, Sima Kuf Lamed Zayin. The Mabit was the father of the Maharit, and this goes back 500 years to the days of the Beis Yosef. Prisha, Choshe Mishpat Sima Reishtes. Reishtes and Choshe Mishpat, that is the source in Shulchan Aruch, the Din of Einu, the Makom Tov Shelo Bi'yodim. And it's clear in the Prisha there on this spot, it's only because there's a lack of Gemar Da'at. But some great halachic authorities assume no. It has to do with the essence of kinyonim. You can't make a kinyon and it hangs out somewhere. B'chalal ha'olam. Kinyon has to stick to something. When you make the kinyon, it needs to be chal on something of substance, not something which is non-existent and it will come to be in some future time. And that is based on the very essence of kinyonim. That is obvious in the Levush. Choshe Mishpat Simen Reish Tes, that very same source. Noide Bihuda, Tinyone, Evan Ezra Simenun Dalet, Kiryas Sefer, Rambam, Mechilichov Beis. And that is somewhat baffling because the Kiryas Sefer is the Mabit. So in his commentary on the Rambam, Perikhov Beis Mechilah, it is obvious that it is a Yisaydis the Kedin in Kinyonim, that a Kinyon can't be Chalat of Shalom Yolam. However, in Tshuvas HaMabit, we find the contrary, the opposite, that the reasoning is because there is a lack of Gemar Das and Smichus Das. So there seems to be a contradiction between the two different Svarim of the Mabit. Chazon Ish, Seydis Roim, Mesechet Demai, Seven Yud Zayin, also voices his opinion that it has to do with the essence of kinyonim and not because there is a lack of smichus das. Tshuvas HaTashbetz, going back to the Rishonim, Tshuvas HaTashbetz Chelek Dalet, Tur Beis, Siman Yud Gimel, the Tashbetz differentiates between two different halachos. And this is somewhat of a compromise, somewhat of a pshara between the two basic approaches. And the Tashbetz says, when you wish to make a kinyan on something which is really davar shaloi bala oilam, the chefza is non-existent. Peiro is dekel. A person sells fruit. The fruit didn't grow yet. But probably there will be fruit. You know, when the season comes, there will be fruit. Person is moichet peiros dekel. The Tashbit says in that case, the kinyan cannot be chal because it is nothing. It's irrelevant. You're selling something that isn't existent. That doesn't fit into the context of kinyonim at all. But if I sell something which is existent, but for any given reason, I don't have the authority to sell it. It's not mine. It belongs to someone else. In that case, the problem is a lack of smichus das. Because the chefzed that you're selling, be it karka, or metaltalin, or whatever it is available. It's existent. You lack authority to sell it. In that case, it is only a problem of a lack of smichus das. I wouldn't say the same, because l'cha'ayra, why would there be a difference if it's non-existent or it's not yours? After all, you're selling something with no authority whatsoever, and when you're making the kinyan, that kinyan has no zika to the chefze. So I do not think it's very reasonable to differentiate between something that is non-existent or something that exists, but it is totally beyond your authority to sell it. But the Tashbetz does differentiate between the two, and maybe, just maybe, that might be the way to reconcile the stira that we have in the Tshuvas HaMabit. Maybe we're dealing with two different situations in Kiryat Sefer and in Tshuvas HaMabit, even though when you check the context and the text, doesn't seem to be that the Mabit in those two different sources is dealing with two different situations and two different matzovim. Both of these approaches have a source in different sugyas in the Gemara, but I do not wish to go into many details about Gufa Sugya. Usually in these shiurim, we're not learning in a koil, and I don't give you a man of makoymis in advance. So I prefer dealing with the fundamental svaras and not delving into the details of sugyas. But Rambam mitziyat hazayinu mitbeis, it seems to be mefurish in the sugya that the problem of a davar shelo bal yoilam is smichus das. The topic we're dealing with in Bo Metziyat HaZayin is a person's soul, the Soda She'enoi Shaloi. I know a person in Bnei Brak, he's a big dry cup, and he's he's a contractor and a wheeler and dealer and not totally honest. So he once sold a house twice. Sold it to Mr. A, and a month later he sold it to Mr. B, and was called to Beis Din. He said, "What's the problem? You know, I learned the Panovich, and I was there, Rav Shach sold his chometz to two different people." He said, "By Mechiras chometz." Sold it to this Rav, and a day later he sold it to another Rav. So, what's the problem if you sell the same thing to two different people? Well, interesting argument, but we'll leave that for another opportunity. So, the Gemara deals with a situation in which a person sold a Soda She'enoi Shaloi. He sold a field that wasn't his. At some later stage, he purchased that field from its proper owner. So the Gemara says, when he purchases that field, it automatically is transferred. It goes over to the one that bought the field from him. So the Gemara says, at the time when the transaction was done, it had no validity. He sold a field that was in the possession of another person. He sold another person's field. So that kin was totally invalid. So how would the person he sold the field to take possession of that field when at some later stage the seller purchased that field from its proper owner? So the Gemara says, the fact that purchaser number one, who bought a cat in the hat, chatul besak, how do you say in English, chatul besak? Maybe a cat in the hat, I don't know. But purchaser number one that bought a field that did not belong to the seller, the fact that he didn't tear him apart means very much to the seller, who actually was a crook. And therefore, when he purchases that field from its proper owner, we assume that his intention was to purchase the field for Pliny, not for himself. So it's like Zochon Yodim Shaloi B'Fonov. But there is an interpretation of that sugya that Kinyan number one is Chal at a later stage when the seller purchases that field from his proper owner. It's not that we assume that when he was Koina for that person, but rather the first Kenyan to begin with is Chal at a later stage when the seller does have authority to sell. How would that be? So some of the Rishonim say Pshat and the Gemara. It's only a question of Smichas Das. In this case, Sam Chedate, because he knows that the seller ultimately will do whatever is within his power to make this deal work at the end of the day. So that sugya seems to indicate that it's a problem, Smichas Das. On the other hand, Ksubas Nun Tes. The Gemara says, in the same way, Ein Udomakna Dovashal Abiyolam, Ein Koinem Chal Dovashal Abiyolam, in Dina Nidorim. So it's merely a question of Smichas Das regarding transactions and Kinyonim. Why would that have a kesher with Neder? So that sugya seems to prove that, no, you cannot do anything. It should be chal on something that is non-existent, something that will only come to be at some future stage. So both of these approaches do have some basic source and different sugyas in Shas. And that is the way I would understand the basic machloikis between the Rosh and the Tur on one hand and the Rivash on the other hand. So let's re-examine the logic between the two different approaches. So the Tur and the Rosh say, yes, it's true, Eino de Maklan de Vashalom Yalom. But if you make a Shavua as well, the Kenyan would be Chal on the Vashalom Yalom. And the Rivash wonders, what does the Shavua have to do with Kenyanim? If the Kenyan isn't valid, Kinyonim have to do with Chosha Mishvat, and the Dora Mishvot are in Yeradeya. What is the interaction between the two? How would a Shavua facilitate a Kinyon if the Kinyon was not properly performed? If we would assume that all the problem in a Kinyon of Shavuot is the lack of Smichas Das, we could appreciate the Svar of the Rosh. When there is a Shavua, Samchedate, the purchaser is more at calm. He assumes that the seller is an Elchid. He won't violate the Shavua. And if he swore, then obviously I could rely, he's going to make this work. He doesn't want to be over on a Shavua Diurais. So if the entire problem is not in the essence of Kinyonim, but rather a lack of Smichas Das, I think we could very well appreciate the Svar of the Rosh, quoted by the Tur, by his great son. If you add on a Shavua to the Kinyan, that Shavua will take care of the deficiency of the lack of Smichas Das, and therefore the Kinyan will once again be valid. That would be the approach of the Rosh. The Rivash assumes no. It's the Yesod B'Torah HaKinyonim. And that's why he wonders, what does that have to do with a Shavua? How would a Shavua add when there's a lack in the basic Torah HaKinyan? So what does the Rivash say? Maybe Lifnei Matan Torah was different. If the problem is a lack of Smichus Das, why would there be a difference between Lifnei Matan Torah and Lacha Matan Torah? Psychology didn't change. People probably were of the same nature. So if the reasoning Sha'ain Odom Makna Dovash Rabu Liolim is because there's a lack of Gemar Das and Smichas Das, I mean, we could assume that every Kenyan since the beginning of days is based on Gemar Das, on Kavona, on Gemar Das, so why would there be a difference? But if we say it's a Din Mesuyim and Torah Sakinyonim, well, many halachos were in Ischadish by Matan Torah. If it's Exeris HaKosev, somehow, then maybe it is only Mishnah Torah. All the details of Kinyonim are only Mishnah Torah. Lifnei Matan Torah, all there was Minhag. Torah HaKinyonim, from A to Z, is learned from different psukim, as we find in Kiddushin Chov Dalet, Chofei, Chovov, Chom Zayin. Each and every one of the Kinyonim has a source, either in Torah or in Nevi'im. Lifnei Matan Torah, all there was Setumta, and in a few minutes we will deal with the concept of Setumta. So if it's a din in Torah Sakinyonim, one could argue, Lifnei Shinitna Torah, there was no Torah Sakinyonim. It was whatever people fabricated and conceived and perceived, and it was all based on minig. If their minig was lahakmes davashelo bani olim, okay, then it was valid. But liachashen in Torah, they're fixed halachas. So the reason that Rivash rejects the svar of the Rosh is also the basis of his interpretation and his suggestion, habahotalia. Because if we assume it's a problem of smichas das, we could very well appreciate the svar of the Rosh. The Shavua takes care of the Smichas Das deficiency, and therefore the Kinyan would be Chal. The Rivash argues, no, it has nothing to do with Smichas Das. It's a din in Torah HaKinyonim. If so, maybe that din wasn't relevant Lifnei Shinitna Torah. And if we're right, then the Rosh L'Shitosai, because the Shita Mekabetz is in Bova Basa Kuf Membeis, when the Gemara says, but a father to a son could be Maknadova Shalom Boli Yoylam. Shita Mekabetzes quotes the Rosh. Why between a father and son would things be different? Because there is more Smichas Das. So the Rosh maintains, yes, it's all about Smichas Das. So the Rosh L'Shitosoi, quoted by the Torah, if you make a Shavua, or the Maknadova Shalom Boli Yoylam. So the Rosh and the Rivash, each based on his own interpretation and understanding. Why is it that Eino the Makna the Meshulah B'Liyaylam offer two different approaches as trying to understand the Mechira of Pcheira from Esav to Yaakov. And it all boils down to the question, Lama ein odom HaKadosh Shel Yodim? I have a big kash on the Rivosh from the Rambam. I think the Rambam proves the approach. No, it is not inherent in the etzem concept of kinyan. And why is that? I think the Rambam contradicts the Rivash when the Rivash says, might be a difference between lifnashin in Torah and achashin in Torah. The Rivash and Hilchas, the Rambam and Hilchas Eirich and Perek Vav, Siman Amad Aleph proves that a neder is chal b'dav shel abul yoylem. Why is a neder chal b'dav shel abul yoylem? How does the Rambam know that? He learns it from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu promises, kol asher titan li aser esrani loch. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, asher nudartu li shom neder. So it is clear from the Pusik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that was a neder. What did Yaakov promise to give? What he will have in the future. Kol asher titen li aser esrani loch. And the Rambam proves from Yaakov Avinu that even though Einu the Makadosh Shel Yoylem, but when he takes an obligation upon himself, or the Makadosh Shel Abul Yoylem. So how do we learn from Yaakov Avinu that was Lifnei Matan Torah? If we assume that Lifnei Matan Torah, even a Kenyan is Chal B'Dav Shel Abul Yoylem, so if a Kenyan is Chal, why wouldn't the Neder be Chal? But if Liachash in Torah, a Kenyan is not Chal, maybe a Neder is not Chal either. So if the Rambam proves that a neder is different than a kinyan, v'yafal pi she'ein odo makna dove shalo b'yoylem, but a neder would be chala dove shalo b'yoylem, and he learns that from Yaakov Avinu, it is quite obvious that the din of ein odo makna dove shalo b'yoylem was relevant before Matan Torah. If we assume that before Matan Torah, even a kinyan is chala dove shalo b'yoylem, we can't prove anything from Yaakov Avinu. That was before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, even a kinyan is chal davashel b'yolam. So how would we learn from there that a neder is chal b'davashel b'yolam, and it is different than a kinyan, and only a kinyan is not chal, but a neder is? So this Rambam proves no. In the sugya of davashel abul yolam, there is no room to differentiate between a neder and a kinyan. No difference between lifnei shenit n'Torah or la'achar shenit n'Torah. So we explain the two basic approaches that we find, Tshuva Sarevosh on one hand, and the Tur and Rosh on the other hand. But I want to make some additional comments, interesting ones. And let's try to analyze what happened in this transaction. It's not the first transaction that's described in the Torah. The first was last week, Kinyan's Day Ephraim. Kinyan Shdei Efron was not the first transaction we know about. First transaction we know about had a tragic end. Didn't end good. It's not discussed in Torah's Moshe, but we do find it in the Medrash. Cain and Hevel, the only two brothers in the world, looked around. So much was up for grabs that they made a deal. Cain took all the real estate on planet Earth. He was the biggest real estate magnate of his time, the only one. Hevel took all the metaltalin on planet Earth, everything else besides Karka. So one day Cain says to Hevel, you know, the floor, the earth you're standing on belongs to me, so you gotta fly like a bird. Hevel looks at Cain, he says, well, the shirt you're wearing, the pants you're wearing, your hat, your socks, they all belong to me, so strip. He says, fly, and he says, strip. Kam kayin v'horeg es hevel. That was the end of the first business deal in history. So, didn't end very well. The second business deal we're aware of is Kinyan Shdei Efron. Yeah, that was a great deal, and we benefit from that deal up to today. The other party still tries to get out of it, but this has been going on for thousands of years, and we're confident we're going to have that transaction until the end of days. B'siyata d'shmaya. So this week, we're learning about transaction number three, which is Kinyan HaBchoyra. So let's try to analyze what went on, what transpired. So Yaakov Avinu suggests, Michru kayoim es becheros choli.
V'yomer Esav. Okay, I agree. I don't really need the Pchoyla. V'yomer Yaakov Eshavolui Kayoim. Once and once again, once and twice, he emphasizes Kayom, now. I want it now. And Yaakov requests a Shvua. V'yeshavolui V'yimker Esbacharos El Esav. And then Yaakov Nosan Leisav Lechem V'nezid Adoshim V'yorchol V'yeshd V'yokom V'yelech V'yivazesav Esav Pchoyla. The Sepharno says, why did he give lechem v'nezid adoshim? That was kinyan chalifin. Because up to this pasuk, we don't know what was the means of this transaction. What kinyan did they use? So Esav sold the pchayra. How did he sell it? Shtar, kesef, chazaka. Which of the kinyonim did they use? So the Sepharno says, Kinyan Chalifin, Yaakov gives Esav Lechem V'nezid Adoshim, and in exchange for the Lechem V'nezid Adoshim, he gets the Pchoyra. So there's a machloikis in Bava Metzia whether Peri of the Chalipin, whether foodstuff could incur Chalipin. So the Sepharno says, according to the opinions that Peri Loy of the Chalipin, we should assume that the Nezid Adoshim was in a kli, in some kind of a pot or pan or plate, or and in exchange for the kli, he was kind of the prayer. So according to the Sepharno, it was chalifin. Some of the Rishonim, including the Radak, Cheskuni, Perish Rashbam al HaTorah. In this Chumash, we have Rashbam al HaTorah. They say, Ve'yoichal ve'yesht, that is Kenyan Setumta. Shuvis Maram Rutenberg, the great Rebbe of the Rush, says, in some congregations, in some kehillas, in some circles, many years ago, when people clinched a deal, they used to drink something or eat something. That is like l'chaim. It's like drinking l'chaim. It's like what the poskim define as hanschlag, you know, at kiyas kaf. And that is Kinyan Setumta. Kinyan Setumta is one of those interesting kinyonim mentioned only once in the entire Shas. Bav Metzia Nafayin Dalet. What is Kinyan Setumta? Minag HaSoichem. It is not one certain form. It is whatever people are noyig. Setumta could have many forms, many shapes, many different acts. Minag HaSoichem, and it's relevant. It works. And there's a big machlaikis in Poiskim. Is kinistumta min ha-toyro med rabonam. Tshuvas ha-ramosam en peizayin. Nisivas ha-mishpot. Choshe mishpot. Reish alaf siv koten beiz. They argue kinistumta is a kinin de rabonam. Min ha-toyro, you cannot add on. I mentioned before, all the kinyonim are based on psukim. As we find in the lengthy sugya, first pedek of Kedushin, from Chof Dalet to Chof Zayin, Chof Ches. So Kinyan Setumta has no biblical source. Must be a Kinyan Darabonim. But Chassam Sofer twice. Tshuvas Yerodei Shin Yudala, Tshuvas Choshem Mishpat Simen Yud Beis. Chassam Sofer argues, no. Setumta is Min HaTorah. Maybe some other time we will have more opportunity to deal at length with the question, how does Setumta work and why would it be Min HaTorah? So obviously, from Kinyan Setumta we learn, yes, the Torah gives us fixed kinyonim, kesef, shtar, meshicha, mesira, hagboa, agav, other kinyonim. However, people could add on new forms of kinyon. Whatever is a minig is a kinyon. I myself wrote in various different sources of my svarim that maybe setumta isn't a kinyon at all, but it works mitoiras haminag. Minag is a force in itself. Maybe Setumta shouldn't be defined as a kinyan, rather as a minag. But minag has the same power in Dina Mominis as it has in Issa V'Heter, in mitzvahs. Minag obligates. But some other Rishonim say, V'yechal V'yoychal V'yesht, that was kinyan Setumta. So why do the Rishonim suggest either Chalifin or Setumta? So this is an interesting comment. Tshuvas HaRavid, Tmim Deyim, Simen Kuf Samech, the David argues, Einu the Machan de Vashel Yolam, but Chalipin is an exception. And Chalipin is Chal even B'Dover Shaloi Boli Yolam. Why would that be? I will try to explain in another 3 minutes. I first want to make an additional introduction. So the Ravid is a Das Yochid arguing that Chalipin would be relevant. Chalipin works even with the Shalom Yolam. We do not find any other edition that says that. Regarding Setumta, oh, that's a big discussion. The Mordechai, Shabbos Tov Ayin Gimel, brings a machlokes between Rabbein Yochiel and Avdei Rishonim. Would Setumta work by Dovah Shel Abuni Yonim? And it's quite interesting. What is the context of their machlokes? Person promised a moel that he's going to give him the bris. The baby wasn't born yet. How did he know it's a boy? They did an ultrasound 900 years ago. I don't think they had ultrasound. Well, he guessed. If it's going to be a boy, you're going to be the moel. And then he regrets it. He wants to pull out. Some of the Rishonim say, no, that's a setumta. You can't pull out. But it's a Dovah Shel Boli Yolam. Setumta works even by Dovah Shel Boli Yolam. If setumta is defined as a kinyan, the problem is not only Dovah Shel Boli Yolam. Exactly what did he purchase? What did he sell? Did he sell his baby? How could you sell Sunday Kois? It's not only a question of a Dovah Shel Boli Yolam because the baby wasn't born yet. It's a Dovah She'ein Bo Mamish. It's a kibud. What did he sell? Did he sell him the orla? What did he sell? What was the purchase? What did he sell? So I think the discussion in the Mordechai, whether Setumta works because it's a Dovah Shel Boli Yolam, proves Setumta isn't a Kenyan. It's a minag. And the question is the minag binding even when they're dealing with the Dovah Shel Boli Yolam? But essentially, we're not dealing with Torah Sakanyonim. If we're dealing with Torah Sakanyonim, Mashiach Lemkor Sandekos, it's a promise, it's a kibbud. What kind of a kinyan will be chal? So this proves the point I tried to, you know, indicate before, that in my understanding, Setumta is kol kuloi minag. But most of the Achroinim do assume it's a kinyan. And in the Mordechai, the question is, would Setumta work b'dovah shaloi boli yoylam? So the Mordechai brings two different opinions. The Siman Tov Ayin Gimel. And it is not only the Mordechai. Tshuva Sarash, we find the Tshuva Klal Yud Gimel, Siman Chof, the Rash says, yes, Setumta is binding even by a dovah shaloi boli yoylam. So the Ravid argues Chalipin would work by Dovah Shel Boli Yolam. The Mordechai and the Rosh argue that Setumta would work by Dovah Shel Boli Yolam. Why? Is there any common denominator between the two? Chalipin and Setumta, do they have anything in common? Yes, I think so. The Vat Avron from the Kovner Of, in the very first Siman in the Sefer, has a fascinating argument. I don't think he's right, but it's an interesting argument. He says that the basic source of Setumta is a posuk in Megillas Rus. V'zois lefonim b'Yisrael sholof ish naloi v'ish nosan l'reyehu. V'zois lefonim b'Yisrael indicates that was the minag. So chalifin is Setumta. That is the earliest form and source of Setumta. If he's right, the Dvar Avram, then oh, interesting. Well, so maybe the Tmim Deim arguing that Chalipin works by Dovah Shel Boli Yolam and the Mordechai that says Setumta works by Dovah Shel Boli Yolam is one and the same. If we assume that Chalipin is Setumta, why do I think it's far-fetched? Because in Kiddushin Dav Gimel Omed Aleph, the Gemara says, V'tehei ishu nikneis b'chalipin. If Chalipin is Setumta, Setumta could be relevant by Mominus, but not by Kiddushin. How would Setumta work by Kiddushin? Minag? Would Minag work by Kiddushin? Totally ridiculous. So, if there's a new Minag out there, that the person bows on his knee and says to his future wife, I love you. So that would be Kiddushin because it's a minag. Kiddushin, wish and ikness, bekesef shtar ubebiya. We're not dealing with mominess. We're not dealing with monetary transactions. So if chalifin is stumta, how could there be a have a minute issue nikness bechalifin? So I think this sugi totally contradicts what the Dvar Avraham means to argue. However, I still think that chalufin and satumta have something in common. They do have some common denominator which would explain why these two kinyonim of all the others might work by Davash Shalabur Yadim. We quoted the Rambam before, Einu Damakna Davash Yadim, but a neder is Chalan Davash Shalabur Yadim. What type of a neder? Koinim Davazeh? No. That's a Gemara Mefereshet, it's a Ksubis Nun Tes. Doesn't work by Davash Shalabur Yadim. When a person takes a neder upon himself, upon the Gavra, and he promises, I will give. The same as Yaakov Avinu. Kol HaShetitni Aser Esanilach. That is Chal Im B'Davash Shalabur Yadim. Why? Because it's an obligation on the Gavra. Yes, I did promise to give a certain thing. And that certain thing is non-existent. But basically, it is upon me. It is upon an obligation which I take upon myself. And I exist. And I am here. Chalifin and Setumta are basically, they start with the Gavra. The Chazanish has an interesting agdora on Chalipin. Tchilosoi choiv v'soifoi peroi. So the buyer gives the seller a handkerchief, a glove, a beged. What does that mean? What is the essence? What is the meaning of that act? The medium of Mitzvah of Zion. And the Chazanish, in his own unique style, explain. It is as if I give you something and you promise to give something in exchange. You obligate yourself. It's not like money. Money is exchange in its purest form. You pay for what you buy. Setumta, you don't pay for what you buy. Koinem akli afal pi shem bo shuva pruta. Chalipin doesn't necessitate a shuvah prut. Chalipin is more of a symbolic act. It's symbolism. You gave me something. I take upon myself to give something in exchange. So the agdora, the amazing agdora of the Chazanish is, Tchilo soy chiyuv, soy for peron, v'chiyuv v'peroin oibon ki echad. Yes. It all is together. But in essence, it's a symbolic act. You gave me something. I recognize my obligation to give something in return. And I right now gave something in return. That is like Dorot HaChazanish. Somewhat similar to the Me'irim of Metziyah Davov, and once again, Bav Metziyah Dav Zayin and Dav Memvav. And that is Chalipin. And Setumta is also a symbolic act. If it's minig asoichim, it is all about symbolism. If it's based on minig, it is not be'etzem. So the tzad ha'shova, the common denominator between these two kinyonim, that basically they're on the gavra, and in a way that would be similar to the Rambam by Neder. And that is why these two kinyonim would be relevant even by the Davash Shalabur Yadim. So Yaakov Avinu obviously was booking in Chosh HaMishpat with all the Rishonim and all the Achronim. So he was very, very thorough in Kinyan HaPchoyre. He wanted to take no chances. He says he's shovely because he's aware of the Tur and the Rosh. But that is not enough because he knows that the Rivosh rejects them. But according to the Rivosh, for Matan Torah, it'll work. He still isn't calm. He still isn't confident. And therefore, he uses two different kinyonim, kinyan chalifin and kinyan setumta. Because according to the Ravid, chalifin would work with the Vashal B'yoylam. According to one opinion in the Mordechai, setumta would work. But maybe the aloha is according to the different opinion. So he uses also chalifin, also setumta. However, even if with a makna dover shelo bo li'olam, kol zman shelo bo li'olam, each side could retract. So Yaakov Avinu says, okay, I did all the kinyonim, it's all wonderful. Afilu leman doma odo makna dover shelo bo li'olam, kol zman shelo bo li'olam, yuchal achzer boy. But Tosis and Bomasiyat Zayin and the Ramban and Kiddushin of Samech say, if you say me'achshav, then ene yochal achzaboy. That is why Yankov says, Michru, kayoim is becheras choli. I want the Kenyan to bichal me'achshav. So Yankov was quite clever about all this entire system and the entire framework. I doubt that Esav understood everything that's going on. But Yankov says, ishavoli. According to the Rosh and the Tur, he uses Chalipin and Satumta because these are the only two kinyonim. Some major Rishonim argue they are Chal even B'dovah Shalom Bo Li'olam. But what will he do if Yankov regrets it? Esav regrets it tomorrow. Now he's drunk, he's hungry, he's willing to sell his soul just to have Odom Ezeh. What will he say tomorrow? He will regret it. So he says, Me'achshav. B'dovah Shalom Bo Li'olam. If you say Me'achshav, can't turn back. And that is why Yankov says, Michru, kayoim is bechiras choli. I want the Kenyan to bichal miachshav. So that is my interpretation of everything that goes on in this transaction between Yankov and Esav. So today, we dealt with pure Choshen Mishpot, primarily the basic sugya of Ein Odom Makna Dovo Shalabionion. And when Esav becomes aware, after time transpires, and Yankov once again takes advantage of Esav's shortcomings, and he gets the brochas from Yitzchak, and Yankov is out. Esav is outraged. Tachikoro shemo Yankov v'Yakveini zepamai. He took away my pchoyre, and now he took away my brochas. So how do we understand Yankov's conduct? Yankov is ish tam yoshev arholim. Doesn't seem to be that much of a tam in this parsha. So in common language, when you say tam, you mean to say somewhat of a fool. When the Torah says ish tam, it means odom asholem. But how do we understand Yaakov Avinu's conduct? In Sefer Yehoshua, Torah Moshe is defined as Sefer Hayosho. And in Vayde Zorach Chavav, there are two different opinions. Why is the Torah Kedoshah defined as Sefer Hayosho? One opinion says Chumash Bereshis. The other says Chumash Devorim. Chumash Devorim, we find the Pasuk Vasiswa Toiv Hayosho. That is why the Torah Sefer Hayosho. The other opinion says no. It is Sefer Bereshis that is defined as Sefer Hayosho because Sefer Bereshis is the story of our Oves, and our Oves were Yeshorim. Yeshorim Betachlis. Yeshorim Betachlis. How do we understand Yaakov Avinu? Dealing with the Pchoyre, he didn't lie. There was no deceit. But he did take advantage of Esav's desperation. That is not something which is reasonable. When you see a person is desperate and he feels he's dying and he's desperate to eat and drink and you suggest business deals? I mean, first give him to eat, give him to drink, and then he'll talk business. That is taking advantage of a person's desperation. There's a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Vav. If a person is running away and someone is chasing him to kill him, to hurt him, to wound him, and he comes to the river, and there's a ferry going from one side of the river to the other, and the person maintaining that ferry, you know, carrying people over, sees that he's desperate, that he's running, that somebody's chasing him. He says, okay, it costs $500. And he says, okay, I'll pay. Gets to the other side of the river, he could say, no, I'm giving you 20 shekel like all the others, because you had no right to take advantage of my desperation. So yes, I said I'm going to pay 500 shekel, but that is nonsense. And the halacha is he doesn't have to pay. He pays what all the others pay, the common price. But you said you're going to pay. Yeah. I was entitled to lie to you because you tried in an ugly way to take advantage of my desperation. And that is what Yaakov does. He takes advantage of Esav's desperation to make deals and to buy, to purchase his prayer. But what happened with the bracha seems to be even more outrageous, you know, the entire show, and seems to be some form of deceit. So there are many different interpretations, but I think the only real way to understand the sugi is based on the Zayar. And the Zayar has a totally different approach. The Zayar says, the two sugis in this week's parsha are two sides of the same coin. It is the same, one and the same. Yaakov Avinu knows Beruach HaKodesh that the brochas are dependent on the pchoira, and it is not coincidence that brocha and pchoira are the same letters. The pchor will ultimately get the brochas. These brochas were designated for the pchor. Yaakov Avinu was also very well aware that HaKodesh Baruch Hu said, Bini Bechoiri Yisroel, and Yaakov is Yisroel. So he understands Beruach HaKodesh that in reality, he is the one that deserves the prayer, and therefore he deserves the brachas. And that is why Yaakov is bent on acquiring the prayer. It's nothing selfish. Why does he need those brachas? So the Zohar says, Yaakov Avinu B'yamecha have got four sets of brachas. First and foremost, the most important brachas were the ones that he got from Yitzchok Avinu instead of Esav. Number two, he was blessed by the angel in next week's parsha, in Parshas Vayishlach. Vayavek Yeshemai, lo yashalechecho, kiim berachtoni. Those were the second set of brachas. And when Yaakov flees from the wrath of Esav, he's on his way to love a nigla elav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses him. Number three, when Yitzchak calls Yaakov and he tells him, I'm afraid Esav might kill you. Run away. Go to Padan Aram v'yavorech oisai. Yitzchak blessed Yaakov once again. So the Zaya says, the three greater and more important sets of brachas Yaakov needed for Klal Yisroel. And it is only in the merit of those brachas that Klal Yisroel was zeichet to Geulas Mitzrayim, with bracha number one, to the Geula after Golas Bavel, bracha number two, and to the Geula Asida, the Geula Shleima, we will arrive only in the merit of the brachas that Yaakov got from Yitzchak b'mkom Esav. So Yaakov knows Beruach HaKodesh, that is ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master plan. Tikkun Olam b'Malchus Shakai. And the only way Klal Yisrael will reach the finishing line in the end of days, and we will zeche to the Geula Shleima Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi, is only by these brachas. It is nothing about Yaakov's personal needs. Yaakov had a life with so many trials and tribulations, so much difficulty. Bikish Yaakov Leisha B'Shalba V'Kovetz Olav Rugzoi Shal Yosef. All those brachas were his. They were all in his hands. But he didn't want to be nanny from them because he knows, Beruach HaKodesh, that Klal Yisrael will need those brachas. It's the only way we will be redeemed from Golas Mitzrayim and Golas Bavel and Golas Edoim. That is the sole intention of Yaakov Avinu. Masa Oves Yetzira Labonim. And he knows that is Ratzon Hashem. Why it had to be in this way? That is Kafshe D'Rachmona. We don't know. We do have some suggestions. We do have some ideas. Maybe Ruach HaKodesh decreed, and that was divine providence, a time will come which wouldn't be obvious who's Yaakov and who's Esav. And the Sultan might argue, as the Sultan argued by Kriyas Yamsuf, Manishtanu Elu Me'elu, Halolo Evde Avayde Zora, Halolo Evde Avayde Zora. So maybe Yaakov had to acquire and achieve those brochas when he actually looked like Esav. When Yitzchak wasn't certain at all, he was totally confused who's Yaakov and who's Esav. Maybe that is the reason this is the way it had to be. That the brochas be bestowed on Yaakov as Esav. Time will come, which it wouldn't be so obvious who's Yaakov and who's Esav. And even then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, Vo'ohev es Yaakov ve'es Esav suneis. But those are Seudas HaTorah, those are Kafsha DeRachmona. What is important about this Zayar is, Yaakov needed no brochas for himself. For his own benefit, he took the lesser brochas, the lesser of the four sets that were in his possession. And the other three, he left for Klal Yisrael throughout the ages. When we learn the Zayar, then we have no problem with the conduct of Yaakov Avinu. That is the way it had to be. That was the Ruach HaKodesh. And that is what Yaakov needed to do. And that was his duty to perform. So, Yerosan, we should be Zoycha Bekorav, that the last set of brochas, the ones that we learn about in this parsha, should manifest themselves. And we should be Zoycha Bekorav B'Yomenu, in the schus of the brochas of Yaakov Avinu, to a Geula Shleima, to Binya Beis Hamikdash, to Bias Moshiach, Tzedkeinu, Bemheiro, V'Yomeinu, Amen.